And when you open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. We're going to be looking at verse 1, 2, 5a, and 6. And then I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn to the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1, 2, 5a, and 6. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we bow with grateful hearts again today for the wonderful blessings which you give to us. We're the recipients of grace in every area of life. We're thankful that you've given us salvation. You've given us some time on this earth. We're here because we realize that you still have a reason and purpose for our existence. Help us while we're here to have Jesus Christ preeminent in our lives, the Word of God foremost, so that we can live in accordance with your divine plan. Thank you for every blessing. We do pray for those who have various burdens and illness today. Give grace and strength and comfort to them. Bless doctors and nurses who minister. But we're thankful most of all that you're the great physician. And we pray that your hand of love and blessings will be upon these who have need. And we thank you again for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. When then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? Verse 2 of Isaiah 66, for my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit, who trembles at my word. Trembles at my word. Glance down to verse 5a. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Go to verse 6. A voice of uproar from the city, a voice from the temple. The voice of the Lord who is rendering recompense to his enemies. Tremble at the word. Isaiah 66, 1, 2, 5a, and 6. Luke 24, 32. As we come to the climax of the book of Isaiah, we discover that the closing chapters of this wonderful book describe the Lord fulfilling some of the promises that he has made. He promised to distinguish between his true people, but also those who honor him only with their lips when their hearts are far from him. Please notice what I've just said. He promised to distinguish between his true people, but also those who honor him only with their lips when their hearts are far from him. God had enough of people who would not listen to his word. Notice, please, God had enough of people who would not listen to his word, and even those who despised those who did listen. In other words, there are many people who do not listen, and then there are those who despise those who do listen. God's word makes all the difference in the world. Not just having knowledge, gnosis, but having applicable knowledge, the ability to metabolize and utilize. God's word makes all the difference in the world. Not just knowing, but the ability to utilize. Since God's message is so powerful, Isaiah 66:2b reveals that the person filled with humility will tremble when the dynamite of truth is heard. Please notice what I'm seeking to get over. When you go to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2b, it reveals that the person filled with humility will tremble when the dynamite of truth is heard. There are some things I believe that we need to see today, and that is God's Spirit used the book of Isaiah and the prophet Isaiah to tell us some things. And that is that God's message is powerful. And Isaiah 66:2b reveals again that the person filled with humility will tremble when the dynamite of truth is heard. When you go to Isaiah 66:1, you will discover that there's an emphasis upon the fact that God is sovereign. God's sovereignty is revealed in Isaiah 66:1 and 2, where we read, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is a footstool." This is a beautiful figurative description of who God is and who we are on this earth. The Word of God reveals to us vividly that God is the Creator. He's the ruler. He's the sustainer. Since I have so much to say in a brief period of time, I'm going to move more rapidly here. God is sovereign. He's the Creator. He's the ruler. He's the sustainer. When you go to Isaiah 66, verses 3 and 4, you see man's abomination. Man is depraved from birth. Man is devilish throughout his life. Man is deceived, oftentimes being self-centered. Man is determined because of arrogance. Notice what I've done for you today. I've tried to reveal to you our condition in Isaiah 66, 3 and 4 of our abomination, man's abomination. Man is depraved from birth. Man is devilish through his lifetime. I know that you don't want me to tell you that you're devilish, but I'll just do it anyway, because I include myself in number two here. Man is deceived, oftentimes being self-centered. Man is determined because of arrogance. Now, Roman numeral three. When you go to Isaiah 66, verses 5 and 6, you see victory for the individuals who are humble. Victory for humility. Humility is the result of soul saturation. Let me pause to tell you how powerful that statement is. Humility is the result of soul saturation. If you don't take anything else down from this message, please take those words. Humility is the result of soul saturation. You and I have the responsibility on every day that we live to be the recipient of the message of our Heavenly Father and the message of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility of having soul saturation, and humility will be the result of that soul saturation. Number two, we need to know the difference between gnosis on the one hand and epinosis on the other hand. Many times over the last 40 some odd years, you've heard this emphasis. Gnosis is a word that describes information, knowledge. But when we get to the word epinosis, all of us are aware of the fact that that word means the utilization and application from the soul. You and I have the responsibility of receiving the mind of Jesus Christ. We're to receive information, gnosis. Gnosis is wonderful. I'm not diminishing that at all. I don't want you to think that I'm making a statement in relationship to gnosis to belittle it in any way. That's not the case. But I want you to see, on the other hand, that gnosis is not all there is to it. If I left you with the impression that knowing the Bible, reading the Bible, is the only answer, then I'm informing you improperly. Information, gnosis, is necessary, but it must become applicable knowledge. And that's the word epinosis. And I need to tell you also that humility removes arrogance. Now, if you will, please, let's go to the book of Luke. What a magnificent chapter this is. And I'm going to take time briefly to review and read. Verse 13 of Luke 24. And behold, two of them were going their very way, the very day, to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Let me be sure that you're seeing Luke 24:13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were conversing with each other about all the things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. Can you just imagine what that would be like? But it says in verse 16, their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, verse 17, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleophas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these last days? That's interesting, isn't it? And he said, verse 19, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death, and they crucified him. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 24. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. Verse 25 of Luke 24, and he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the, notice, prophets have spoken. Have we been dealing with the prophets? Notice, please, again, verse 25. O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into glory, his glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. I have to tell you that when I read this once again, I was amazed to hear Jesus talking about how important the prophets are. And I said, you know what, self? I said to self, self, it's a good thing that you're teaching the prophets. Jesus said it was important. So I'll read it again. And verse 27, with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Do you get the weight of that? Do you see that? Oh, my. And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. But stay with me now. Verse 28, they approached the village where they were going. He acted as though he would go farther. And they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward the evening, and the day is now nearly over. He went in to stay with them. And it came about when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, He began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. Oh, I wish I could just spend a lot of time here to tell you how fantastic this is. You can see it. He was with them, and he vanished from their sight. Are you aware of the fact that one of these days, you and I are going to be the recipients of a glorified spiritual resurrection body, and we're going to be moving when we want to? Now, let's not get into that anymore, because there's more that I need to tell you. Verse 32, after their eyes were opened, after they recognized him, after he vanished from their sight, they began to say to each other, were not our hearts burning, trembling within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Tremble at his word. Did not our hearts burn within us? Oh, how fantastic. Can you see it? Tremble at his word. Oh, so much to say. I want you, if you will, to take the insert in your bulletin today. I want you, if you will, to notice, I just read to you where it says here, and it came about when he had reclined at the table, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Their eyes were open. They recognized him. And then he moved out of their sight. And they began to speak to each other and say, were not our hearts trembling, burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining to us the scripture? Glance down, if you will, please, at number 4 in your insert. The observance of the Lord's Supper is commanded to every church age believer. Every believer born after 30 AD and before the resurrection of the body of Christ or the rapture of the church is an individual priest to God. This observance is a normal function of the priesthood of the believer. In order for the Lord's Supper to be truly meaningful, the believer must have an understanding of the biblical concepts of soteriology. That word simply means relationship to salvation. In other words, the doctrines relating to salvation and the work of salvation of our Savior Jesus Christ. There are concepts of soteriology which include propitiation, which is the work of Jesus Christ toward God. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross satisfied the righteous claim of God against fallen humanity. Number 2, redemption, which is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ towards sin. By his sacrifice, he paid the penalty for sin and redeemed us from the slave market of sin. Reconciliation is the next section in relationship to soteriology. Reconciliation, which is the work of Jesus Christ toward man. Jesus broke down the barrier between God and the man that had existed since the fall and thus reconciled man to God. May I spend just a moment. Propitiation, redemption, reconciliation. The work of Jesus Christ toward God. The work of Jesus Christ toward sin. The work of Jesus Christ toward man. A believer must have these great biblical concepts in mind in order to meaningfully relate what one is doing while he or she is observing the Lord's table. The observance of the Lord's Supper is a testing time, number 7, a test of our ability to concentrate, the ability to apply the truth of God's Word, which we've learned, the ability to apply those principles to everyday life. Number 8. The key to this test is memory. Believers must be able to remember the biblical concepts of soteriology and Christology. A poor human memory is not the issue, since our Lord has a system, the grace system of comprehension, which allows each believer, while in harmony, to properly receive spiritual truths. He takes up the slack for deficiencies in IQ when we're receiving God's Word while filled with the Holy Spirit. This is so fantastic. I just want you to take this home with you and look it over and read it time and time again. We concentrate to receive God's Word and then recall those biblical concepts in worship. This is called reverse concentration. When the believer has advanced in the spiritual life to the point of having developed capacity, then it is possible for us to fulfill the command of 1 Corinthians 11:24, "This do in remembrance of me." The Bible gives warning not to receive the Lord's Supper while out of fellowship. And that's presented to us in 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 31. In other words, there should be no unconfessed sins. We're turning in our Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you." Verse 23 of chapter 11, the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We bow for a moment of prayer as our men come to assist in the observance of the Lord's table. May we bow together for prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the fact that we're privileged to be here today to have this magnificent time, a time of testing, a time of silence, a time of remembrance, a time when we can realize once again how much our Heavenly Father has done for us in giving His Son, and how much the Son has done for us in giving His life, giving the totality of His life, that we might have salvation through Him. We're thankful for the privilege which is ours now to come to this time of observance of our Lord's table. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. The bread represents Christ, whose body was broken for us. Take and eat thereof. Father, once again, we're thankful for the willingness of our Heavenly Father to give his Son and the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to give his life for us. We are the recipients today of salvation through our wonderful Savior. And we thank you over and over again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We have not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. Remember, as we take this cup today, we're remembering his willingness to be our substitute. Take and drink thereof. It is our custom to sing at this time, number 324, which is, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, but pour contempt on all my pride. May we stand as we sing together, please.